This is what I gotta do.
There's a lot of it that we can't use.
Just seen everything over there.
Isn't that done yet?
No kidding. I've been cooking a lot, that's why. I don't know, like, the reason. We're gonna change the month of your life, so that's gonna be good.
If you ever went there, where?
I'm gonna make sure they.
This is good.
You go to customer service.
No, you need to completely.
All they want. Touches up the white paint. All they want.
I guess we'll go ahead and pull the, call the meeting to order. So first, we're gonna have the reorganizational meeting. We have to start with election of officers. So, do we have any nominations for chairman?
I will nominate Dr. Gerlach.
Second.
Any other nominations for chairman? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, congratulations, I think. Something else to add to your plate?
You're passing it off, so you should.
That's why I said, no, it's good. And can I have a nomination for vice chairman?
I nominate John O'Day.
Second.
Any other nominations, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Motions carry. We have a nomination to reappoint Karen Kirsten as secretary.
So move.
Second.
Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I think that's a carry. And we, did we previously do this?
It's at the bottom of the other.
Oh, of the other, okay, gotcha. All right, so on the bottom of the regular meeting agenda, we have the scheduled meetings for 2018. Can I have a motion to approve those? Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we got a motion for adjournment.
So move.
Second?
Second.
All right, I think we're there. Any other discussion? Okay. In that case, let's move on to the regular meeting. And first, I need approval of the minutes of November 13, 2017. Second?
Second.
Any corrections, comments, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Any public comments? Okay, I don't have any chairman comments, so we'll go on to the presentations.
First one.
Laboratory update.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have Elena as our laboratory, our senior laboratory person, so she'll start us off.
So I'll begin with the forensics. The big news is we have a new forensic chemist. Megan Johnson left us back in October, so we now have a new forensic chemist. She just started last week in Anna Bridgman. She's coming from the Green Bay. I don't know if you want to give a little spiel about yourself.
Okay, cool. Just what I'm seeing right here.
Yep.
I moved from Texas about 3.5 years ago. My husband's from Wisconsin, so I'm not crazy. It's a reason for the move. I work at DPS for 9.5 years as a forensics scientist, and I just started last week. This is really, really, really exciting, and I'm just very happy to be here. If you guys have any questions, you know where the lab is at. For right now, I don't have many answers. Who does? But give me a week or two, and then we'll get up to it. But I'm very happy to be here.
You're welcome.
So in 2017, we had a ASCLED lab audit with the forensics, which we successfully completed. So that re-accredited us for another 5 years. It was a big process, but glad to be done with that. We will have to transition, though. ASCLED is now turning into a NAB, so a whole other accreditation group. So there's going to be some new requirements with that, so we'll have to be working on that this year. That's a big thing. And then also in forensics, we've had new safety precautions implemented due to fentanyl testing, car fentanyl testing. I'm sure you guys are aware of the resurgence of that drug. So we worked with Milwaukee Crime Lab to implement new safety precautions that we need to take while testing those suspected substances or unknown powders. In 2017, our numbers for blood alcohol, we had 264. This dropped a little bit due to, the new district attorney no longer requires two draws when somebody is pulled over for OWI. So it's just one draw. So we saw our numbers drop in that sense, just sample-wise. And then blood drug confirmation still pretty high for us for just being two people. And then drug IDs was increased to as well, and urine drug confirmations as also increased. So for the environmental portion of the lab, one of the biggest things in 2017 was we began testing a lot more inland county beaches. Thanks to Mark.
Yep.
Giving our services to other people. So I think we were doing like 6 beaches, and now it's up to like 16 beaches. So that definitely increased. One thing that also I didn't mention for environmental this past summer with the flooding, we were busy with that as well. We did around 432 well samples. So it was a busy summer for Megan and I. But we did have help from the environmental section, so that was great. We will be having a DNR nitrate audit. That will be in March. And then a Department of Trade and Agriculture water testing audit. So that's what we do for the bacteria testing for the public and waters. So those two big audits. And then in the clinical section, the clinic is no longer performing strep testing, so we don't do that anymore. We did get a new CLIA lab director at the very end of 2016, so he's with us all 2017, Robert Bagley. He did work up in Racine previously, so he's been helping us with that as our new director. And then numbers for 2017, syphilis went up, syphilis testing went up a little bit, and I think that's due to the new Vivitrol program. I believe they have to do certain STD testing before they are able to start the program or during the program. So we did see those numbers rise a little bit. And then gonorrhea cultures, we're not seeing as many cultures as urine samples that they do with PCR at the WSLH, so those dropped a little bit. And then we also have a CLIA audit in June, so we will be very busy with audits and training a new person, so it'll be a busy year for us. But looking forward to it. So, any questions?
Are you seeing any trend in the water quality?
Not particularly. I mean, it depends. If we see if people haven't tested their water in 5 years, then it's bad. But usually the regulars are pretty good. We do nitrate, fluoride, and arsenic testing. We contract to WSLH for arsenic, and those numbers seem to be relatively the same and safe. So we're not seeing any high numbers or anything.
Questions. Okay, thank you. the asthma?
I'm Lindsay Dynhammer. I'm the nurse that does the asthma education. This is Michelle. She helps do the environmental portion of the program. And we have gotten this grant through the Wisconsin Department of Health and through the CDC. It's currently funding Kenosha County, Rock County, and Children's Hospital in Milwaukee are the places that do it. We had one other county, if you were in it, Sawyer County, that wasn't as successful at getting people to enroll, so we're down to the three of us then. Our program is a free asthma program. It provides patient and families with asthma education, and then a free home environmental assessment for their asthma, and it's for any age. So it's, we see predominantly children, but it is for any age. It can be adults also. Our objectives are in line with the Wisconsin Asthma Plan. We want to reduce the number of emergency department visits, unscheduled doctor's visits. We want to reduce hospitalizations and also school and work days missed are the big things that we look at. We work with partners in the community to identify potential clients. So we determine their severity by using an asthma control test. And so anybody that scores 19 or under qualifies for the program. Most of our referrals are coming from school nurses. At this point, we have some that come from doctor's offices in the area and then also from our public health nurses. We get most of our referrals from. We determine if the client has health care coverage and a primary care provider, and we assist them in obtaining coverage and finding a primary care provider if they do not have one. To be honest with you, I think in the last several years, we've had one person without insurance that we've had to work with, but we have had to help with primary care providers and getting people connected with that. And then we schedule a home visit to provide education. We have found that sometimes people are reluctant to have us come into their home, and so we've started offering meeting elsewhere for the first visit, and I think every single person we've met beyond that has allowed us to come into the home for the environmental portion once they've met with us the first time. So we usually do two home visits that take place. We do the environmental assessment, and then we do about an hour of education with them on the asthma medications and how it affects their body. And then the program provides also a two-week phone call, a three-month, and a six-month follow-up phone call at that point. The other piece that we started doing through the state is intensive self-management with school-age children. There's a program called Open Airways for Schools, and that we do to second and fifth graders. That includes three 20 to 30 minute classes with the students, and then we do follow-up phone calls to the parents and education over the phone with the parents. After we finish the classes, we kind of let them know what the child's asthma control test score was and what our recommendations would be as far as going into a doctor right away or following up at their normal appointment times. We also offer a home assessment to the parent at that point too when we call. And then we do the middle school kids who have been the most engaged. They're actually very excited when we do the program. And that's for 6th through 8th grade students, and it includes four 30-minute classes to the students. And follow-up education and environmental home assessment if the parent wants it. The same thing as with the Open Airways kids. And they're, when we do the middle school kids then too, in the elementary age, they're all kids that have asthma. So they get a permission slip home to participate in the program only if they have asthma. The other program that we are continuing to work with through the asthma grant is, it's called SAMPRO. It's a school asthma management program. It's sponsored by the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, and it's developed in collaboration with other organizations. And they're trying to bridge the connections between the doctor's offices, the parents, and the schools. You can go ahead and switch to that. Their goal was to create a circle of support between the families, clinicians, and school nurses centered around the child with asthma. They want to create and make sure that the asthma action plan is getting into the schools. So they're working really hard to increase those numbers, which at the end, I don't know if I have data in there, but we're starting to see that increase a little bit in Kenosha, primarily because Children's is sending, faxing them down and asking the nurse, school nurses to sign and fax back to say that they received them. And then a comprehensive asthma education plan for school personnel. So this is for not just Kenosha, and so they're trying for the districts that don't have maybe people going in and providing education in the schools on asthma. They're trying to get people into their schools. And then this is what an asthma action plan looks like if you've not seen one. This is, go ahead. It's okay. This is what they don't all look exactly like this, but the components are the same, and it's so that the person with asthma or their parent knows what to do when they're starting to have symptoms. And we recommend when we do the program in the home too that every person with asthma have one of these and utilizes it when they start to have symptoms and gets it updated with their physician. It's something a doctor fills out for them. And then why is this important to us? Kenosha County has the fifth highest emergency department visit rate for patients with asthma in the state of Wisconsin. We did update this to come to you guys. We were fourth before, so we've moved up a little bit. We are still third, though, and we've maintained the third highest hospitalization rates in the state. And then the highest density of patients are located in the city of Kenosha and in Pleasant Prairie that we're seeing at this time. And this is just to give you a little idea, because I also work as a school nurse, of what the burden of asthma is for the Kenosha Unified students. We service 37 elementaries, middles, and high schools. Students, they represent about 16,660 students. Our ratio right now is one school nurse to about 3,800 students. For the last year, so June 2017, when we collected our data, we had 1,577 students that reported asthma, so this is self-reported from parents. 609 students have asthma medication orders with a bronchodilator available to them at school. So you can see that that's a big discrepancy, and it's something we work on, trying to figure out how we can get more asthmatics having rescue medications at school. And we had 90 students that had an asthma action plan, and that is huge, because I think maybe 2 years ago we probably had six for all of that. So that's a big increase. The other thing we did when we started sending letters home, because we do realize that some kids very rarely had issues with asthma, or they had been diagnosed once with, you know, bronchitis. So we started giving the parents a place to write, send back to us and say they don't need an inhaler at school right now. We can't access an inhaler, which gives us the opportunity to try and help them. Or they don't actually have asthma. I wrote that because it was a breathing issue. So we have tried to look at, you know, how we can help with decreasing that number. And this just gives us a picture over the last several years of the people with asthma are on the top. That's the top graph, part of the graph, and the bottom one is how many kids actually have rescue medication available to them at school. Oftentimes it's our highest 911 call is for difficulty breathing too in the schools, so it's a big issue. Any questions about our program or anything that I can answer for Michelle?
Are we hoping with the closure of the plant
that it will get better? There's been discussions about that. We've tried, you know, possibly. We also
it's
still.
Oh, it's all taken care of.
If it's
closed,
all.
We won't have
Mark?
It can't go away.
I think. I do know that in the past there's been studies when they looked at air quality in the schools. As you got farther away, it got better. The air quality did. But we also still live in a city that's right between Milwaukee and Chicago, so I don't think that it'll completely solve the issue, but maybe.
And the schools have gotten better with their air quality mm-hmm. through the years, too, with better mechanics.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a lot of facilities that were remodeled through the years and too tight. Didn't have the air turnovers that they used to have, so that has really been addressed quite a bit.
Other questions?
Can you discuss a little bit more what your home assessment involves?
So when we go into the homes, we have a checklist, and we look at every room in the house, specifically their bedrooms and the places that they actually like play and they eat. So the kitchen and like a playroom and a bedroom are like the biggest places. We look for things like mold, pest infestations, water like seeping through in bathrooms, which leads to mold, all sorts of things that would be an environmental trigger for asthma. Obviously, you can't get rid of dust mites, so we provide them with dust mite covers for their beds and their pillows. That's what everybody gets. And then we kind of tailor what they need as far as cleaning supplies or other things that they could use. Like, we had one home that had, a mice infestation, so we provided them with mouse traps and different types of mice catching things so that they could put them outside as well.
Plastic containers, that yep. too, so they could transfer their food into that.
Right, because they were keeping their food in open containers. So.
Yeah.
things like that.
Smoking.
We address smoking, yeah. So we talked about smoking outside the home and putting on either a smoking jacket or a sweatshirt or something that's specifically for smoking so that they don't carry that back into the house and then their kids don't touch that.
And we can give them stuff on smoking cessation if they're interested. Right. We oftentimes don't find that out until we get into the home, though, mm-hmm. because you don't, until you mm-hmm. get there and actually see things.
Are you addressing the vaping, too, now?
We have not had anybody who
that has admitted to vaping.
Right. We ask if they smoke.
Yeah, and we talk about smoking in general. When I go through, we have a checklist, and then she'll do the environmental walkthrough. I try to touch on it, too, and just talk about the fact that smoke is, and we talk about fireplaces, like I talk about fireplaces, too, and outdoor, fire pits and things, the other things that can trigger people with asthma, but we do talk about the fact that we talk about the chemical part of it, too, that they can also touch, if you're not smoking in the car with them, but then putting them in their car seat, that's still on there. It's the stuff they're touching. And someone gave us, when we were at one of the asthma things, they talked about, giving them Cheerios then, and now they've touched everything that has mm-hmm. the smoke and then the chemicals and stuff, and then they're eating their Cheerios as they sit in their car seat. So we try to do it with a non-judgmental approach and just give them information on, and we have a family that, a mom who said she wasn't quite ready to call, but because she didn't know what to expect, and our answer was just, you might not be ready, but call and see what they have to say. And she said she was calling because she knew we were coming back. So it's just kind of the reminders because they know we're going to call and check and just support them and where they're at. But we try to give them things to do until they quit to try and decrease the amount of smoke that's around the child and how that happens.
And other things like humidifiers and dehumidifiers too. We address that especially in apartment buildings.
Any other questions?
Okay, thank you. Sydney, help. Well, welcome to a new year. Last year, OSHA had a power outage, and the health department participated in that. We had to go collect our vaccines over at the WIP Wellness Center and bring them back to this location. So we had a staff that went out at 7 o'clock at night and brought them back. Our new lab manager, which we're happy to have on board, has been introduced. Our team leader, Kira Krause, she's going to a grant position, so she no longer will be a team leader, and she's moving to the Well Women program, so we typically have that as one of the presentations, and that's who we'll be presenting during the year. Our nurse family partnership has a new nurse that started today, Samantha Ness. And Sarah Melke, who had previously been in the Well Woman program, shifted to the PAT program, our Parents as Teachers, which is another home visitation program. Our medication-assisted treatment program is expanding. We're adding another nurse, and a nurse shifted there from another program, Dana Mearing. So she'll be filling her position, and we'll also be adding a public health technician to this, since we'll have an increased number of drug urinalysis to be doing in the lab, and the person will also be assisting the lab, Elena and Anna, in the lab with specimen testing. The Narcan program has been receiving wonderful national recognition and regarding this program. So again, we thank our community for initiating this and giving us this opportunity. So far, we've distributed 358 kits in the community, and I think that number is up. That might have been the number I reported in November, so I'm sure another month we've added more. The WIC office, the WIC department, they've been doing quite a few billboards around our community, and if you haven't had a chance to see those, but they're promoting, the billboards are promoting their programming. We also had a new school nurse start, Michonne Gardner. And we'll be actively getting our public health accreditation in gear since in October or between October and December we have to push the button for reaccreditation and then we're on the fast track. So we have to prepare all of our work ahead of time. We're our community health improvement plan, Healthy People, Kenosha County 2020, is one of the pillars of accreditation. That will be due in 2020 to be revitalized, so we're now in the process of thinking about it. for the next 2 years, the process, assessing where we want to go, and moving that forward for the next 5 to 10 year cycle with our community health improvement. Currently, we have 5 committees, so there'll be a process that's initiated, and you'll be hearing more about that. Our Kenosha Life Course Initiative, we'll be meeting with Gwen and myself, meeting with the grant funders and determining the next steps of that grant. We have 3 open positions, so we have Kira's team leader position. We have a HUD administrative assistant because of that new grant cycle. We'll be hiring another assistant for, and we also have the public health tech position. So of our 60, and just kind of give you, I kind of did some numbers analysis, of our 69 health positions, 39 have been hired in the last 5 years. Just to kind of give you an idea of turnover, orientation, onboarding, people, and that's just doesn't include people shifting also to open spots and all of that. So just kind of an awareness as we move forward. This seems to be the current trend. Previously, like 10 years before that, it was like a dozen, and 10 years before that, same thing, a dozen. So this is definitely a trend, people moving, changing jobs, and I'm sure in your work environment, you're recognizing that too. And there's a lot of backfill and accommodating that goes on along with that. That's it. Thank you.
On the Narcan, do we ever get any success stories? Do we know how many saves
there's been? Oh, we have quite a few. I don't know if we have a number handy right now. I think we had, last was I think 7 was the number I want to say. So definitely it's something that's being used and out in Twin Lakes too. So all over our Kenosha County it's utilized and available. We're really pushing. I think our staff are starting to take a look at parking lots, seems to be a location, and also there was one other identified location which was much easier to try to get the product, the Narcan, available to people that could participate. Parking lots is a little bit more difficult unless the general public carries.
Do all the city squads have it now? Do we know? Have the reason been trained? Good.
Other questions? Corporate council?
Not a lot. I mean, I thank Mark for working on Agenda 16. We've been through the county board and the finance, and it's about to be published on the website. We just talked about that this morning, so that's good. And then just other consulting and advising.
Business?
No, WALDAP, Wisconsin Association of Local Boards of Health, is having their conference in the Dells on the 6th and 7th. I would encourage anybody who's interested to at least look them up and attend. And then the national conference is again in August. It'll be in Raleigh. And if anybody wants to present it at that one, one in Raleigh, we're looking for people.
Closing board comments. Otherwise, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second. Thank you. Chairman? Yeah. A little quietly. I thought there were
Sure. Yeah, sure.